thinking about my early preaching days when I was looking over my Bible study this past week. So much of it was in the Old Testament, since we're studying through the Old Testament. And when I first started preaching back in 1980, if I preached several lessons in a row and used some Old Testament in there, the old men would say, "Now, preacher, need to get out of that Old Testament. We live by the New." And, you know, we kind of developed a mindset in the body of Christ about the Bible, its importance, and its divisions. Now, when most of us think about divisions in the Bible, we think about the patriarchal age, we think about the Mosaical age, and we think about the Christian age of the law of Christ. Many of you are old enough to remember the Jewel Miller film strips. And one section in the Jewel Miller film strips was a big chart of the three dispensations. And we would begin to teach about the three dispensations and how today that we're living under the law of Christ, and we certainly are. We're living during the Christian age or the Christian dispensation. This is the last dispensation of time that will ever exist. It's going to last until Jesus comes back. And we stand before Him at the judgment, answer for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And we'll hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rewards, or depart from me. Never knew you. Cast him out into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If you'll remember in our lesson this morning, we titled our study together, "A World Prior to Sin." I think most of us never really think about the division of the Bible in this format. The world before sin and the world after sin. And where is the greatest division in the Bible? Many would say, well, it's between Malachi and Matthew. And that is a great division because it separates the old from the new. And there needs to be a separation of the old and the new. But when you consider the fact that there was a world before sin, and we base that upon the teachings of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, right over into the first section of Genesis chapter 3. But by the time you get down to chapter 6, or verse 6, of Genesis chapter 3, you see where those two concepts divide. Because from Genesis chapter 3 and at verse 6, all the way through Revelation chapter 21 to the last verse of the last chapter of the Revelation, you're looking at the world after sin. So when we really stop and think about great divisions of the Bible, we need never to forget about the division between Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 5 and Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6. Where we find sin entering the world, Adam and Eve standing outside of the garden, and shortly thereafter. As we said this morning, when Adam and Eve sinned and transgressed God's law, God the Father headed right straight towards Golgotha. kingdom. The hope of the church was in its early beginning stages. When Adam and Eve learned that there was one coming from the seed of woman. There was one coming from the seed of woman that would strike a blow to Satan, sin, and the world of sin. So you see, when you consider what the Bible teaches about the creation of this world, there's a great division beginning in Genesis, ending in Genesis, going all the way through the end of the Revelation. The Bible basically embraces two worlds. The world before sin and the world after sin. So could the most important division of the Bible be where the two intersect? I think it helps us to better understand the purpose of the Bible. One of the greatest lessons that we can teach, when we have the opportunity to teach someone how to approach the Bible and study the Bible, how to help them see what the Bible truly is, and oh, how God in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 introduced us to God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and how it introduces us to the nature of God, the very spirit, heart, and soul of God. And then in the rest of the Bible, we begin to learn something about sin. What sin does. The Old Testament says the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. Even the prophet Jeremiah broke the news to Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and at verse 31 through 34, that there was going to be a new covenant. Remember, if you will, he said in that text of Scripture, he's talking about that he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And he said, it's going to be unlike the covenant that I made with them when I took them by the hand and I led them out of Egypt, took them down to Mount Sinai, spent a year with them there, and I gave them their law. I made a covenant with them. But because they have broke that covenant and broke that covenant and broke that covenant time and again, I'm going to create a new covenant. And it's going to be different than the old. They broke it. And this new covenant, it's going to be more exclusive. You see that old covenant? It was specifically for the Jews, Israel and Judah. But this new covenant, this new law, was going to include the Gentile population, the Gentile world. Remember how that in Acts chapter 10, Peter was instructed to go to the house of Cornelius, a centurion, a Gentile. And he was at that point made aware of the fact that God's care for the Gentiles was just as important as his care was for the Jews. That they had the same right and the same privilege to be in his kingdom, to enjoy his new covenant, as did they. I thought we would look at a section of Scripture in the book of Hebrews. If you would, turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, we're going to really focus in on verse 6 all the way through verse 13. But I really want to look at the introduction to chapter 8. Notice how it begins in verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary of the true, listen to this, and the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Remember what Jeremiah told them? It's going to be unlike that first covenant that they broke. Remember when they were around Sinai, they got the law, and the law told them how to establish the priesthood and build the tabernacle and furnish the tabernacle? Remember all of the people that it was going to require to keep that temple in operation, that tabernacle operating. How that there was a certain group of Levites that was to be working inside the temple, others working outside the temple. But then there was a high priest, and the high priest could go in once a year. Remember now how we've been studying in the Old Testament. The first thing that Jeroboam did when he took over as king over Israel, he literally drove the Levites out of town. Expelled them out of Israel, because when he restructured the worship service, he used people that weren't from the tribe of Levi. And as the Bible said, they were kind of the rubbish and the rubble of the people. They weren't even righteous, holy, godly people. But now, notice if you will, under this new covenant, the Hebrew writer is saying, oh, we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. So where is the true temple? Oh, it's in heaven. And who's sitting on that throne? God the Father and God the Son. He's sitting on David's throne, which was God's throne. And where is he sitting? He's in heaven. Now you talk about a problem. You talk about a gigantic problem is a religious world that's out there trying to teach us about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's trying to convince us that the kingdom has not yet been established. And that Christ is one day coming back to this earth. He's going to reign 1,000 years and then he's going to sit on David's throne. Well, the Hebrew writer said, he is seated. He is serving. And he is sitting on God's throne at the time the Hebrew epistle was spoken and written. Notice what he goes on to say. Every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he could not, listen to this, he could not be a priest. Why could he not be a priest? Because he came from the tribe of Judah, not the Levitical tribe that under the old law he was to serve. Oh, but he's coming back. say our friends. And he's going to sit and he's going to reign. And they're going to reestablish the old law during this period of time. The Hebrew writer said if he was sitting here, he couldn't be a high priest. He could not serve. Now look at verse 5. Who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mind. Look at verse 6 as it is word. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Isn't that a beautiful comparison? Oh, here's the old law, and here's the new law. And this new law that embraces Jew and Gentile alike is a more excellent ministry. And it's a better covenant. And it was built upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for the second. Now notice, if you will, beginning in Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 6, the Hebrew writer is quoting from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. We're reading from the Hebrew epistle, where the Hebrew writer is quoting from Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31. For finding fault with them, in verse 8, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to that event that I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind. I'll write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. Isn't that a beautiful thought? When you think about what we have today, and it's all because of the sins that were committed by Adam and Eve back in the Old Testament that began in Genesis chapter 3 and at verse 6, and you see how it goes all the way through. Now, how can we appreciate? How can we really truly appreciate what we have in Christ in His kingdom if we're not familiar with the Old Testament? If we're not aware of the fact that there was a world that existed in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 where there was no sin, there was no need for redemption. There was no need for Christ to leave heaven and die on the cross. There was no need for a New Testament. Why? Because there was no sin. But when sin entered, God's plan that was in His foreknowledge before the world was ever formed shot into existence. It never shot our God. It never threw our God off base, and He had to have another plan, because the plan was already there. And He began immediately to reveal, oh, there's one coming. And He's going to bruise the head of Satan. And He's going to come from the seed of Abraham, from the lineage of David. And the Hebrew writer said, we're enjoying that new covenant. It's a much better covenant. It was built on better promises. Now, if you look back in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 19 as well as 22, it's referred to as a better testament with a better promises and a better hope. Remember when Paul was speaking to the Colossian brethren? In Colossians chapter 2 and at verse 14. He said the old law, the Old Testament, was blotted out. And it was nailed to the cross of Calvary. You know, there are people worshiping today, many very sincere, that really are not even aware that there's a distinction between the old and the new. They think they're still living under parts of the old law. And some are trying to teach that. But really, when you stop and think about it, was the most important division in the Bible at the end of Malachi and Matthew? Or was it back in Genesis 3 and at verse 6? Where it begins, never ends until we get to the last verse of the last chapter of Revelation chapter 21. What a blessing it is. You know, I guess you could say there are two words that sum up Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. God and perfection.
Amen.
He's perfect. He looked it over when He finished it after 6 days. He said, I like it. It's good. And He rested on the Sabbath. And there are those in the body of Christ that teach, oh, it didn't happen in a week's time. It happened over eons of time. God said, I did it 6 days. I rested on the Sabbath. And I really liked what I did because it was perfect. And it was. As we said this morning, we can't even wrap our minds of walking in the cool of the garden. The only way that we can even think about is maybe a beach in the Caribbean. Oh, we can't go there because of the virus. We can't enjoy that calm, billowy breeze blowing off the ocean. But oh, they had it there. They had everything that they need to survive as far as food was concerned. Water was concerned because it was perfect. It was free of sin. But by the time we get to chapter 3, sin had entered the picture. God's plan for redemption started just as surely as we breathe. God's redemptive plan sprung into effect. One of the greatest needs there is is for people to appreciate the Bible for what it is. Know that it's inspired of God. It's unlike any other book that's ever been written. Not only that, but if they could just see the divisions and see how it flows together, it's a book that you really just can't put down. Once you get a hold of it and you begin to read it and see what it truly teaches, you just can't put it down. So yes, indeed. There was a world prior to sin. There was a world after sin. And yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations that exist in this world because of sin and Satan. But in the end, Satan is going to be totally defeated.
Amen.
Totally destroyed.